For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
This is the 2006 Memorial Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, May the 28th, 2006. LaVon Thompson is the speaker of this service teaching on betrayal.
And as you have entered this day into my presence, as you have taken into your heart the words that the songwriter has written, because it's in my presence that I have an opportunity to mend your heart. It's in my presence that you can hear my voice ever so clearly for the questions that you have placed before me. It is in my presence that your daily concerns should be laid at my feet, and I shall begin to operate in you and cause you to be fresh, cause you to be new, cause you to be able to walk in the places that I have caused you to walk in. For yea, I have called you to walk in high mountaintops of your own heart, your own pride, your own inability to see that I have made you wonderfully and beautifully and fearfully, that I have made you the way that you are because I wanted to, because I am that I am, and I love you that way. I have made you to look and to sound and to be because I am God. And you are special to me. You return time and time again to this place looking to man to give you what I alone can give. And they stand as empty vessels knowing that if you will look beyond them and see what I've done in them, that I can do in you. Because you are mine and I love you and you are so special to me. I have loved you with a love that you don't understand at times. I have loved you with a love that cannot be written in the book except the book that I inspired. And if you read it and need it, it will be good to you. And it will change you. And it will help you to understand the depth and the breadth of my love for you. My face shineth upon you today. My heart is poured out on you today. You are special. Let no one take that from you. Let no one draw it out. No person, no event, no thing, no place, no experience. For I love you and I'm working out in you all that needs to be worked out in you. So that you become a reflection of who I am. For the day is here, it is now that my people need to know who I am. And some of them cannot know who I am until you show them who I am. Let my word move upon you and in you and around you and through you. Let it not just be a written word. But let my word become alive to you. Let it become alive to you and in you. And it will change you. Then it will change your circumstance. It will change the people around you. Because I am that I am. I have no beginning and I have no end. I am sovereignly moving this day in this place. And in my people because I am. And I want to understand my love by reading my word. I speak to you daily and some of you say you don't hear me. But I'm speaking to you daily. I speak to you through the trees. I speak to you through the wind. I speak to you through the birds that fly. I speak to you through my word because I am. Don't box me in. I am. And I can do and I can be all that you need me to do or be. I am that I am. And I'm in love with you. I am madly, desperately in love with you. Come into my presence. Let me mend your heart. Let me have relationship with you. It is the desire of my heart from the beginning of time to have relationship with you. Enter into my presence. Fear not. Fear not. I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Fear not. Enter into my presence. And when the new thing comes, you will know it because I will have told you. It will be confirmed in your spirit because I do nothing that I have not already told my prophets, that I've not already shown you. Fear not, little flock. I am that I am. That I am.
Well, Brother LeVon is going to come and minister the living Word of God.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a new sound that's coming from heaven. It's going to be the voice of God like you've not heard before. He's always speaking. He's always talking. We just need to have ears to hear. And you have ears to hear. But he's going to tune you into a different level of frequency. And you're going to hear the new sound from heaven like you've not heard before. Because the reason for this is because of the day or the season that we're in. And that it's going to take a group of people. If you want to call in an army, call it what you may. But it's going to take a group of people that's going to be able to hear God. And you're going to be able to do ministry. Yea, warfare in the marketplace, not just found within the four walls of a building, but it's going to be found in the marketplace. And you're going to be at the right place at the right time to do the right thing. Amen? Everybody say, I, Lord, make myself available to you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Boy, didn't we get a word last night? You really needed it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you. If I understand the Word of God properly and correctly, as soon as you become born again, you become a member of the body of Christ, with Him becoming the head, or who is the head. So therefore, you and I automatically are a member. Isn't that good? Now you tell me what part of the body that doesn't have a function. The only thing that's on the body that shouldn't be there is a wart. Are you a parasite? Well, all the parasites, raise your hand, please. No, you're not either. all the warts here, would you raise your hand? The next question I would ask you then, what part of the body are you? And you ought to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. And everybody's not a mouthpiece like you hear from up here. Aren't you glad for that? You better be, because we'd all be taking numbers to stand up here. God has some, what I call, unsung heroes that's going to be made manifest one of these days, and it may not be here on planet Earth. I'm thinking about the cooks back there in the kitchen right now, that will be ministering to me by faith at 2 o'clock. Oh, boy, faith went in the tube then. But are you hearing what I'm saying? There's people who do a lot of ministry behind the scenes that are unsung heroes. There has to be, absolutely. And there is no, you hear me and you hear me well, there is no member of His body that is insignificant. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I think verse 28. You're listening to a person who used to be an introvert. You know what an introvert is? That's somebody who's shy, I want to use the word coward, but I don't want to put myself down too much. Very easily intimidated. I remember to this day standing behind my mother at my grandmother's house, holding on to her skirt tail. I mean literally holding on to her skirt, hiding behind her in the presence of my grandmother. Don't do it anymore. I got delivered. Amen, Brother Glenn. And I'll tell you when I got delivered is when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. That's when boldness came on me. And the Lord's not through with His boldness in me. He's not through. He stretches me from time to time. I do a lot of things today that it took faith for me to do years ago. And now I just get out there and do it. But then He's taking me to another level. Everybody say, level. We move, saints, from glory to glory, to glory to glory, to glory to glory, to glory to glory, until we're in glory. Amen. Father God, we thank You this morning for Your Word that never fails. Everybody say, amen. His Word never fails. I want to share some of that Word with you this morning. I thank God for the opportunity of being able to come to Lake Hamilton. I've made a memory that I'll never forget. As long as I live, I'll never forget. Not knowing really what to expect when I got down here. See, this is a new adventure for me. Took faith for me to come down here. Took faith for me not to be intimidated by all of these great men. I'm serious. I'm not flattering. I'm serious. You ask Nathan Hobson. I don't know how many times I've talked to him. Nathan, I don't know if I'm supposed to be going there. I don't know. I don't know, brother. I don't know. Woo! I just feel at home. Amen. I feel at home. Matter of fact, I have to rebuke jealousy and lust. I sat on the man's front porch this morning in his rocking chair and watched the ducks and the birds. And as the prophecy went forth this morning, I learned something from the birds. It brought back Proverbs to me as that little bird just dotted over my head, and I'm thinking, that's where a curse is. And the bird didn't like my hair, but flew off, and it didn't do anything else over my head either. Just flew off. And I thought, that's where a curse is. Curse is not going to touch me, because I'm not going to give it an open door. I want to trust the Holy Spirit that every time a door opens, that He's going to say, Levon, doesn't have an automatic closer on it. You got to do it yourself. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I told somebody since I've been here, and I said every once in a while to my congregation, I'm a Holy Spirit junkie. You want to talk about the Holy Spirit, push my button, and we're gone. I done a funeral here, it's been about 3 weeks ago, I guess, now, and of course people came from out of town, and it was a small funeral. And but anyway, some relatives came from a nearby community, another city, and we were sitting there at the table, and I fellowshiped some with them, and my associate never meets a stranger. His ministry, he does pulpit ministry, but his real ministry is one-on-one. And I sat there and just watched him as he moved from table to table to table to table, talking to people. He's in McDonald's the other day, standing in line to get his Big Mac, when the lady behind him was shifting from one foot to the other, and he turned around and says, what's wrong? Ended up over the table praying for the lady, and the lady got healed. Yeah, went home and told her family and told a friend. The friend called and says, will you pray for me? And he said, sure. And so set up a time, came to the church. We cast out some demons. But here my friend is. He just moved from table to table, talking to people, ministering to them. I know what he's doing. He's just looking for an open door to get his foot in there. And so he ended up to the table where I was at. He says, now, Pastor, he doesn't say much. He's kind of a quiet guy until he gets in the pulpit. He's kind of quiet and reserved. And Gene just went on talking and talking. And pretty soon he gets up and leaves. And the brother who was sitting there, he turned and looked at me and says, do you believe in demons? Everybody say, pushed his button. Yeah, and then it flowed out. Let's talk about a spirit this morning that maybe you hadn't thought about in a while. And let me start out with a story. I preached this sermon last year down at Marvin and Kathy's church in Plainview, and I got some response, and it was positive out of it. Back in the 1800s, there were some prospectors that left Bangkok, Montana, to go out into Indian Territory to look for gold. And they ventured out a long way into the territory. And they looked, they searched, but found nothing. But the Indians found them, took their provisions, left them with a few little crippled ponies, and gave them a stern warning for them to go back to Bangkok and don't come back. Because the next time they came back, they said, we will kill you. And so they set that little band of prospectors on their way home. And in the process of going home, they stopped by a little creek to give the ponies a chance to rest, and themselves as well. And one prospector just sitting there on the bank just picked up a rock, began to fondle it. Then he called for a friend. He says, "Bring me a hammer." And he tapped it. And he picked up another rock. The next thing you know, they're panning. And by the end of the day, they had found about $12 worth of gold. They got up the next day and they panned all day and made about $50. A lot of money back then. And they all looked at one another just about the same time. And they said, "We've struck it. We've struck it." So they got their little ponies. They headed for Bangkok, and they agreed among themselves they'd tell nobody about their find. But they would very secretly and very quietly re-equip themselves with the necessary provisions to go back to their diggings. And this is what they did. When it was time for them to leave town, there was 300 other men already packed up and ready to go with them. And somebody said, "Who told you? Who told you?" And the man in the group says, "We didn't breathe a word to anybody." And one of the strangers spoke up and said, "Your faces betrayed you. Your faces did." So what I want to talk about this morning is betrayal. I don't think there's any treachery that is worse than a betrayal by a friend. Julius Caesar, in the year 44, was assassinated. And one of his betrayers and assassins was a very close friend of his, one that he had treated as a son. His name was Brutus. And Caesar, the story goes, Caesar fought off his assassins very well until he seen Brutus. And when he seen Brutus, the story goes, the legend goes, Caesar picked up the top part of his robe and covered his face and said those famous words, "You too, Brutus? You too, Brutus?" I think another great traitor that comes to my mind is Benedict Arnold. Is anybody here in the room this morning does know about Benedict Arnold? Betrayed our country during a very crucial time. Did you know that he was a high-ranking officer? But did you know that he was constantly being passed over for promotion? Constantly. Until rejection got such a hold on him, he decided he'd defect to the other side and became the traitor that we know him to be today. Rejection turned to betrayal. I ask you this morning, have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever felt like you've been betrayed by someone close or near to you? Has somebody lied about you? Has somebody that you've had trust and confidence in broken that trust, broken that confidence? Usually the greatest betrayal comes from family members or close friends. Sometimes it comes from people that are at a distance. For example, politicians, government leaders. Some of you may have remembered George Bush 1, "Read my lips, there will be no new taxes." He was not reelected for the second term. Why? New taxes. See, we experience betrayal, you know, from a distance. I'll watch TV sometimes and there'll be an actor on there and that I know that may be deceased. And I'll say to Sammy, "I wonder where he is. I wonder where she is." Do you know that personally I'm going to have a hard time watching the Andy Griffin reruns because of little Opie? That little boy who grew up to be a man. Don't know the man, except from the distance. The only time I've ever seen him has been on the screen. But I felt betrayed. I'm serious. I felt betrayed. Actors who declare their political position, if it's not according to mine, I turn them off. Doesn't mean they're wrong. Well, it does too. Yeah, sorry about that. It is wrong. It is wrong. No, I'm not serious. I want to read to you a biblical definition of betrayal. This comes from Vines. Number one, it means to lead astray, especially seduce. Number two, to deliver to an enemy by treachery. Number three, to fail or desert, especially in the time of need. I like to say in the time of crises. Need, there may be the need may be simple, but there's also crises. I think crises is even greater. And number four, to disclose and violation of confidence. I would just simply put it, to violate confidence. I shared this with you, and now you went and told somebody else. So you've been betrayed. I trusted you and betrayed me. Now watch synonyms. Synonyms for betrayal is deceive, double cross. Now, I know what double cross means, but I don't know what it means. Think about it. What double cross? What do you mean, double cross? Let me, beg pardon? Forked tongue. But where did the double cross come from? It's for now, watch what I mean here. Brand new. What's brand new? It's either new or it's not new. What do you mean, brand new? Oh, it's a Ford new. Chevy new. Well, why don't you just say Chevy new? Why don't you say GMC new? Why? Brand new. I have a brand new suit on. You see, are you impressed? I asked Brother Glenn this morning. I got my suit on. Are you impressed? And he said, not really. Got a label on the inside. J.C. Pawnee. Oh, hallelujah. Well, anyway, back to this double cross. You see how I can chase rabbits? When I think about that sort of thing, it just gets me to running. I'm on the horse. Let me just ride it. He sure got your goat. I don't have a goat. Where did that come from? Sure got your goat. Have you ever heard that? If you haven't, you haven't been around old timers. Do you know where that came from? In England, at the racetracks, when they put their very fidgetive and high-strung horses into the stalls, they'd get very antsy. And what they'd do, they'd put a goat in there with the horse, and it would provide company, and it would still the horse, make the horse quiet. Now, an opponent would go down to the stall, steal the goat, and your horse gets antsy, loses the race. Sure got your goat. What about the? Well, I can go on. Let me give you one more, and I'll quit. Everybody say amen. Don't clean out the trash under somebody else's porch until you get it cleaned out from under yours. Now that goes way back, doesn't it? All right. Let me continue with my message. Double cross on synonyms. All right. Another synonym to prove faithless or treacherous, to inform or to break faith. And here's another one. Sail down the river. Now, I know what that means, but I don't. I don't know what it means, sail down the river. I'm going to find that out one of these days. So let me go over my definitions again, because when I give to you my examples, I want you to be able to identify. And then as you identify, I want you to identify it with yourself, whereby that ministry can come forth. Definition of betrayal, to lead astray, especially seduce. Number two, to deliver to an enemy by treachery. Number three, to fail or desert, especially in the time of need. And number four, to disclose in violation of confidence. John Le Carre has this quote, love is whatever you can still betray. Love is whatever that you can still betray. Betrayal, he says, can only happen if you love. And then Isaac Singer says this, when you betray someone else, you also betray yourself. So here's what I get out of those two quotations. I cannot be betrayed by you unless I love you. I cannot be betrayed by you unless I have confidence in you. I cannot be betrayed by you unless I have trust and love. Otherwise, you can't touch me. Amen? Let me give you some biblical examples real quickly. I can do it quick, can I be? I'm sorry. One unbeliever. One doubter. But I can. I can. Like my brother last night, I don't have that many points. I only have 9. Amen. Example number one, Jacob. He was a betrayer, and he had been betrayed too. For example, with Esau, his twin brother, and Isaac, his blind daddy. You remember how that Jacob and his mom clothed himself with skins of animals and etc. and went to Isaac, and Jacob, by betrayal or deceit, see the synonym deceit, was able to steal the blessing that really belonged to his brother. And then you remember later on in Jacob's life, when he fled for his life, he went to live with his uncle, Uncle Laban, who was more crooked than he was. And so he and his uncle made a bargain because Jacob fell in love with his cousin. And Laban says, well, what was it, 8 years? 7 years. Work for me 7 years and she's yours. And he did. And his future father-in-law, who is also his uncle, is laughing. I'll get the boy drunk. And he did, and deceived him. Now, he must have been one drunk man to wake up the next morning and recognize he married the wrong woman. That's a double cross. That's right. That is a big double cross. Wow. How many of you know the rest of the story? He worked another 7 years to get the other woman he wanted. But that wasn't the end of it. Remember? Another double cross when Jacob says, well, let me make a bargain with you, dad-in-law, Uncle Laban. Let me have all the spotted and ring-necked cattle. So here was treachery and betrayal. Then when it was time for Jacob to go home, he snuck out at night, did he not? And then, like our brother preached the other day, as he started home, he got caught between a rock and a hard spot. Dad-in-law behind him, angry brother in front of him, and that's when he met God. Amen? That's when he met God. You get in a rock and hard spot, you'll start wrestling with God. I've never preached this. I want to preach it one of these days. Never trust a man who doesn't walk with a limp. Because after Jacob wrestled with the angel says, let me go. It's getting morning. And Jacob says, not until you bless me. Now, I don't know if, I guess it's a blessing. Because when that angel flipped him off, he got up and walked with a limp. And if you want to call walking with a limp a blessing, well, he got his blessing. But he did get his blessing, didn't he? So Jacob was a betrayer and was also betrayed. He knew what it was to be on each end of the spectrum. Joseph was another biblical character that was betrayed. You remember Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph knew God and God knew him. And Joseph was dreaming all these dreams and sharing them with his family. And as a result, he made everyone angry. Even Daddy, and his brothers especially. And then when Daddy ended up giving him that coat of many colors, that was just simply of a capstone. So you know the story. When Joseph went to check on his older brothers took him, threw him in the pit. And he was in the pit for the next several years. Sold into slavery, sold into bondage. Of course, the whole story of Joseph is the story of Jesus. Sold into bondage. Even when he was in prison, he gave forth prophecies. Remember the butler and the baker? Remember the promises they made? Then forgot all about the boy? That's betrayal. They were in prison together. Everybody say the same boat. I know that metaphor. All in the same boat together. All going down the same stream together. And it was God that gave the revelation. But, I'm telling you, when I think about things like that, how that God gave Joseph the interpretation to the dreams, and I think about God being able to see the end from the beginning. There's where trust and confidence, hear me now. As my brother-in-law would say to me, Levon, are you preaching or telling the truth? Well, I'm telling the truth here. Now watch what I'm getting ready to say. He trusted God. Joseph trusted God. Now watch how unfair God is. He got the baker and the butler out, but let Joseph in. Now what kind of God is that? Now of course nothing's happened like that to you. Sitting on Brother Glenn's front porch. And it may have been sitting in his favorite rocking chair, I don't know. Sitting there and had my notes, my Bible, a cup of water. And here comes this old couple on one of these ski things. You know what I'm talking about? It's just, you know. And they were just looking at the scenery. He was driving and she was hugging. And I'm thinking, I wonder how old they are. I told my wife after we went back to the room, I said, I'm sure they went to the early morning service. Saturday night service. Pretty soon here come a young man, probably in his 20s. Probably a $20,000 or $30,000 bass boat. Big old motor on the back, looked like it ought to set it down under the water. Little trolling motor up front, couldn't even hear it. He was just standing up there, hooked one, about 8 inches long. I watched him take it off, put it in the back, and I think, you ought to release that. That's not big enough to keep. And pretty soon he checked his rigging, and I'm thinking, you're right. It will grow. Now watch where I'm coming from, folks. I'm sitting on Brother Glenn's front porch, and he's got all this. He's living just this side of heaven. He's just this side of heaven. Well, we're not going to go there. I'm trying to tell you about the good things. I'm not talking about the caterpillar out front, and I'm not talking about the weeds you got to cut. I'm just talking about sitting there on the chair and eating ripe tomatoes out of your garden over there. And do you know where I live? I live out there with Marvin and Kathy. You heard Marvin say that we're in the center of fishing country. 500 miles you have to go in any direction. We live on the high plains. It'll be against the law in the high plains to cut down a tree. You got rocks. Why is it that Brother Glenn's got what he's got and I've got what I've got? Well, you mean faithfulness. Who said faithfulness? I'm faithful. That's right. That's right. Now, watch. Now, watch this. Let me flip that coin over. I am enjoying his front porch, but I don't have to pay the electricity. I can enjoy his air conditioning, but don't have to pay the bill. Amen. What was your bill last month? $3,000, $5,000. I'm blessed. Somebody in your will, I'm serious now, in your will, you ought to pay 10% of your will to this place. 20% out of your will. First 10 goes to your church, the other 10 comes to here. Why don't you pray about that? I'm riding this horse. Let me just ride it a little bit more. Sitting on his front porch, I looked across the river there, and there's a man right behind that shower house in a camper trailer, and he set up another little, what I call a shanty. Got him a little picket fence around it, and I'm thinking, he's not an overnight camper. Got a dog in the front yard, and the woman in the trailer now was speaking, I think, out of the camper, and I think out of one of the windows, while he's in the front yard trying to put down one of these, what I call, shepherd staff to hang a party plant. And she'd say, no, move it over a little. No, a little more. And then finally got it down. I'm thinking, is this overnight? Now, I'm gonna tell off on him. One of the sisters was up at the garden doing something, and I stopped my car and I went back and I asked her, I said, are those people living down there or are they just camping? She says, I really don't know. Says, Brother Glenn will let them come in here if they're poor and just let them stay. He'll just let them stay. Oh, you hadn't heard that one. So they don't know everything. Yeah. Listen to me, folks. If you get to comparing yourself with somebody else, you'll think God has forgot about you and God has betrayed you and that God is an unfair God. That's not true. Let me mention Samson and Delilah. Do you know the story of Samson and Delilah? Every time he laid his head in that woman's lap, he got in trouble. And over and over and over again until she was able, now watch, to seduce him. That's betrayal. Into telling her where his strength lie. And the guy lost his hair. And eventually lost his eyesight through betrayal. I moved through that pretty good, didn't I? Kathy said, you're doing good. Watch David. David's a good one. David, in all of his process, to my knowledge, I could be wrong here, but to my knowledge, never betrayed Saul. King Saul chased him and chased him and chased him from rock to rock, from cave to cave. David had opportunity after opportunity to take that man's life. But he said, now watch. Watch what he said. I will not touch God's anointed. I will not do that. And to my knowledge, he never violated Saul. And even after Saul was dead, he looked out for members of Saul's family so he could take care of them. That was contrary to the rule in that day. Kings would go in and annihilate all family members for personal security reasons, but not David. He sought them out. Yeah, he wouldn't. Now, watch this one. But after he became king, he was up on the rooftop, and his neighbor lady was over there bathing, and David got to checking it out. Just a little peek, just one look. The next thing you know, the woman's pregnant. Well, where's her husband? Out fighting. Where's David? Hiding behind his walls. What does David do? Brings the husband home on an errand so that he could spend the night with his wife. And then, 9 months later, it's your boy. Until the boy comes out with that ruddy complexion and his face betrays him. Well, what was his name? Uriah? Uriah refused to sleep with his wife. And even the comfort of his own home, I think, slept outside the door. We'd call it today, slept on the porch. Why? Because of his comrades out on the field. He was of such character and nobility that he refused to take the comforts of home, to take the furlough. But David, being the type of man he is, he didn't give up. Put the man on the front line to make sure he got killed. Now if betrayal is not written in that, I don't know what is. Seem like I read somewhere that whatever you sow, you'll reap. It's called seed time and harvest. And that came back to bite him. I don't know where I should read this or not. It's good. Let me read the latter part of it. This is a scripture whereby that David is, when he's running from Saul, he's gathering together his army. He's getting his army. And it says, the following men joined David at Ziklag while he was hiding from Saul. They were among the warriors who fought beside David in battle. All of them were expert archers. Now listen to this. And they could shoot arrows or sling stones with their left hand as well as their right. Man, they're good. They were all relatives of Saul from the tribe of Benjamin. Okay? Some brave and experienced warriors from the tribe of Gad also defected to David while he was at the stronghold in the wilderness. They were expert in both shield and spear, and as fierce as lions, and as swift as deer on the mountains. These warriors from Gad were army commanders. Now, this blows my mind. I don't think this is speaking metaphorically, but it could be. These warriors from Gad were mighty army commanders. The weakest among them could take 100 regular troops. The weakest! Bring it on! I'll take on 100 of you at one time. You want some of it? Come after it! Now that's the weak one. Yeah. And the strongest could take on 1,000. They crossed the Jordan River during the seasonal flooding at the beginning of the year and drove out all the people living in the lowlands, both on the east and the west banks. Others from Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold, and David went out to meet them and said, if you come in peace to help me, we are friends. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies when I am innocent, then may God of our ancestors see you and judge you. If you're coming to help me, God bless you. But if you're here to betray me, God's going to judge you. God's going to take care of you because I'm innocent. I'm not trying to take Saul out. I'm not trying to get his throne. I'm not trying to get anything he's got. I'm running for my life. I'm innocent. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Amaziah, who later became a leader among the 30, and he said, now listen to what he said, "We're yours, David. We're on your side, son of Jesse. Peace and prosperity be with you, and success to all who help you, for your God is the one who helps us." So David let them join him and made them officers over his troops. There were, to my knowledge, there was never a time when David's troops betrayed him. The closest that they got was at what I call the Battle of Ziklag. David and his army was out fighting Philistines. They came back home to find their city had been burned, their goods plundered, their wives and children taken captive, and then the men turned against David. But they did not turn to Saul. They did not turn to enemies. They turned against him because they had lost all that they had. Now David is surely standing alone now. And in the midst of him standing alone, the Bible says that he encouraged himself. What? In the Lord. He encouraged himself. There'll be times, folks, that you're going to have to do that too. A preacher can't do it. Nobody else can do it. Mom or daddy, husband, wife. Nobody. You're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. That's another message. I want to take the time to tell you about Absalom, who when his older brother betrayed the family by raping Absalom's sister. And Absalom made a vow then that he would get revenge upon his older brother. And it took years to do it, but he finally set him up at sheep shearing time, which is a time of celebration. And he got all of his family together, including his daddy, King David. And then with some of his servants at a preconceived, well-planned out time, they fell upon his older brother Amnon and killed him. And then Absalom flew or escaped to a neighboring country to live with his grandparents for a period of time. And then got permission from his daddy to come back home to Jerusalem. Lived in Jerusalem for 2 years before David ever saw him. And Absalom got so antsy and so anxious to see his daddy that he threatened to burn some wheat fields if he didn't get an appointment. Finally got an appointment and asked permission from his daddy to go to a neighboring place so he could fulfill a vow. And then when he went to fulfill a vow, he set up all of this entourage of people in order that he would set himself up as king. Now he's betraying his dad. Had 50 outrunners running out and proclaiming, "Absalom, Absalom, king, 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 king." Bottom line, they crowned him king. Bottom line, David had to flee for his life. And then there came a time that they had to fight. 20,000 men fell to their death in the battle. The Bible says many more perished in the forest. So there was 20,000 plus that died in that battle. Absalom was riding his mule. The Bible says it was a fast one. And he ran under a tree, caught that man's hair in the branches, reached up to get it out, and that dumb mule ran on without him. Hung him in the tree. Betrayal, 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 betrayal. Watch me turn pages here. Isn't that good? You better watch me. I might betray you. I can always go back. Let me get you a New Testament. Think about Peter. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. Not until I get before a little woman at a fire. Then I'll leave you. What about the man? The man. Judas. The betrayal of all betrayals. For 30 pieces, he sold him out. Judas ranks right up there with Benedict. I got thinking about Judas one time. Not for a long time, but a little while. I got thinking. Judas, he was full of greed. We'd call him today, he had a spirit of greed, spirit of lust. I would think that Judas would think something like this. I can get the 30 pieces, and with the cleverness of my master, he'll escape their hand. I remember on occasion when he was in a crowd and they were going to take him and stone him. But miraculously, he was able to slip out from under their grip and escaped. I think I can get my 30 pieces. And he can do it yet again. Even with a garrison coming against him, he can still get away. That's my master. Or I could think something like this. I remember one time on the sea that he came walking up on the water, and even Peter got out and walked a little ways toward him. And he wouldn't even let Peter drown. In the midst of Peter's failure, I think I could get my 30 pieces, and he could still escape. I remember on the same occasion whereby that the storm was raging, and he said, "Peace! Be still!" The wind stopped. You could drop a pebble or a leaf upon the surface of the water, and it would have sent a ripple to the shoreline. When he said, "Peace!" he meant peace. I could still get my 30 pieces, and he could still escape. He'll win, I'll win. The way I see it, it's a win-win. I remember when he said, "Peace!" and the wind stopped and the waves hushed, that immediately, I'm telling you, immediately, our ship was at the dock. It was miraculous. I think I could get my 30 pieces, and it'll be a win-win. But when he seen that his Savior did not escape, when he saying that he was beaten, is when he took his life. Judas betrayed Jesus by treachery. I want to ask you a question. Do you think Jesus forgave him? We don't have any record of it. We have no record of Jesus saying, "Judas, I forgive you." You remember when he was hanging on the cross, you remember he did forgive those guys. He did forgive them. No record of Judas. We don't have any record of that. Well, also, we don't have any record of Judas going to Jesus and asking forgiveness. We don't have a record of that either. But we do have this record that he sinned not. We do have this record that Jesus never committed sin. He was sinless. We do have this record that he says if we don't forgive, we don't get forgiveness. We do have that record. We do have this record that he practiced what he preached. He didn't say one thing and do another. Though we have no record of him forgiving Judas, rest assured, he was forgiven. I come before you this morning and declare to you that some of you may have experienced deep betrayal. Some of you may be acquainted with or know of Bill Wilson, who has that 20,000 member Sunday school class in New York City. Do you know that his mother left him on the street curb when he was 12 years old? Totally abandoned him? Did you know that he lived in a broom closet of an Assembly of God church? And a little woman would bring him food? And he would dress himself, care for himself, and take himself to school? You want to talk about betrayal? He had every right to grow up and become a mass murderer. He had all the trappings. He had all the settings of becoming such a one. Last year when I preached this for Marvin and Kathy down at their church, Jane Fonda had just written a book. And a Vietnam vet stood in line for 4 hours to meet her. And when he got to her and to her book signing table, he spit in her face. How many of you see betrayal in that? Stood in line 4 hours. That man was bitter. That was in May of last year. Also in May of last year, they were having, and still a popular program, I've never watched it, where they have this, what is it called, American Idol? One of the contestants had an affair with one of the women judges, and she coached him in what to do. ABC and Good Morning America had the other contestants in a room, cameras going, and then told those contestants what their colleague had done.
Oh, it's just a weak battery. Good Morning America did not record or disclose what those people said, but I watched as their countenance dropped because they had experienced a level of betrayal and distrust. To my knowledge, there is still a $25 million reward out for the discovery and assistance in helping to find Osama bin Laden. I mean, Osama bin Laden. Yeah, he's hiding. Osama bin Laden. $25 million. $25 million for somebody, one of his friends, to betray him. My wife's aunt is 96, 97 years old. She lived in an assistant care facility until she broke a bone. What was it, her arm or elbow? And anyway, had to go to the hospital, and finally moved her into a nursing home. And but Annie had a friend in that same assisted living unit by the name of Cecil. She and her husband never had children. Her husband has gone on, and Cecil's left by herself. No family. A lot of this. Got a lot of it. But nobody leave it to. Her mother died when she was young, and her father gave her away. And now she sits in her room saying this over and over again. I'm alone. I'm the only one. I'm alone. I'm the only one. I'm alone. I'm the only one. Let's stand together. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces. Brother Marvin preached on the first day here how that a passenger on the bus could have sold him out for 25 cents. I want to ask you a question. I don't want a response. If I was at home, I'd probably get some. But I want to ask you a question. Have you betrayed him? Now watch what I'm going to say. Have you double-crossed him? Have you sold him down the river? I was in prison and you visited me not. Like a Peter, you've stood before a warming fire in a Walmart store, in a checkout line, filling up your gas tank. You've had opportunities to witness and you've had opportunities to pray and you just passed it on by. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to awake you. I'm not talking about 30 pieces of silver and I'm not talking about money at all. I'm talking about a witness. I'm talking about Acts 1:8, whereby that you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit for the purposes of becoming a martyr. Ye shall be my witnesses. The word witness there is martyr. And sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes I have opportunity to witness, and when I do, I have a struggle with it, and I think I'm going to die if I do that. I'm going to die. Well, I am. It's my flesh that's dying. I play golf with some old men. An old man joined our group here last year. His name was Bob. Name is Bob. And I thought, i.e. Holy Spirit, you need to witness to Bob. Everybody else you're playing with are either retired ministers or missionaries and deacons and elders. And who's he? I thought, I need to witness to Bob. But if you play golf, you know the only time you get to talk is immediately when you get to the tee box. You're not allowed to talk if they're hitting their ball. And then once the balls have been hit, you're going chasing the little white ball, going looking for it. You don't get a chance to talk then. Then when you get on the green, it's time to putt. Everybody should be quiet to put the little ball into the pocket. So you can't talk then. So I played the 18 holes and didn't witness to Bob. I realized that as I was going back to my car. Holy Spirit says, appreciate that witness. Well, no, he didn't say it that way, but that's what he meant. What he said was, you didn't witness to Bob. And I said, I said it out loud. I said, Holy Spirit, give me another chance. Let me up the bat again. And so he gave me another chance at bat. So before we ever hit our first ball, I just went over to where Bob was sitting in his cart. Bob, I can't play a good round of golf unless I know that you're right with God. I got to know that. I've got to know this for my own peace of mind. And he smiled at me. He said, well, I'm okay. I said, then all your sins are covered. Yeah, I'm okay. I said, well, you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. I'm okay. I said, okay, you're okay. So we hit our balls. We had an opportunity to play another round together. Matter of fact, we play together now all the time. He gets the tee times, and when I get a chance to go, I just know he's playing every day. So we were playing one day, and my friend, my other friend, are you impressed? I got two friends. My other friend, Walter, who got Bob to play with us to begin with, Bob turns to Walter down on number four, and he says, Walter, can I borrow your phone? Sure. And so Bob begins to dial his number, and Bob says, need to call my wife, see how she's doing. She's in hospice. So we all go chase our little balls. Pretty soon, here comes my friend Walter. He's just buzzing down that fairway in that cart. Pulls up to me and says, Levon. I said, yeah. Thinking he's going to help me find my ball. He said, Bob's wife died. I said, you don't mean it. He said, yes, she died. And Johnny's taking him back to the clubhouse now. Wow. And if you know me, I said, wow. 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 And then the next thing I said, was she a Christian? Walter says, the assistant pastor called him by name. He and I went to see her in hospice and led her in a sinner's prayer. I said, oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I said, Walter, what do we do? Do we start playing golf? God forbid. That's a joke. And I said, well, maybe we need to go with him. He says, I don't think it'd do any good. I said, why? He said, I just don't think they're interested in spiritual things. I said, oh, Bob told me that everything's all right. Of course, in my own heart, I knew he was just brushing me off. I said, well, Walter, let me know when the service is going to be. I want to be there. He said, I don't know if there'll be one. Had two sons to pass away, and they had no services for them. I'm thinking, I'm living with heathens. That's supposed to be in a third world country. I said, okay. There was no service. So Walter and I, and another minister, and his brother, who's a retired Assembly of God missionary, the four of us agreed, Bob is in real problems. He's in big trouble. Because we've got our sights set on him. He'll either have to get in or get out. I played golf with people that would join up with us. They'd hit their ball. And they would go in the wrong direction and they'd let out a few curse words. By the time they got on the green, I hit my ball, dropped in the cup. Praise God! Wasn't that the good one? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hit my ball. Oh, I know God had to do it so I could give him praise. Let it go! Thank you, Jesus. They only played nine and checked out. Bob will either have to get in or get out. Bob got in. Bob got in. Now watch. The anniversary of his wife's death comes up. And he says, my son died on this date. 2 years later, my son died on this date. 2 years later, my wife dies on this date. I guess I'm next. Boy, that doesn't have curse written on it. I said, not if you'll listen to me. You'll not die, but live to declare the works of God. You see curse written on that. Curse all over the place. That testimony led out of the fact, do you witness? Have you betrayed him? I pray to God, and this, I don't mean condemnation, but I pray to God, the next time you have an opportunity to witness, you'll see 30 pieces of silver. And that you'll get out of the boat and try to walk. I'd rather be a successful failure for Jesus than a success for the devil. You know what I got to doing one time? I don't do it now as frequently, but I used to do it all the time. Answer my telephone with, praise the Lord. Pick up the phone, praise the Lord. Then a lot of times you hear a click on the other end. But now watch this. Praise the Lord, and it's a telemarketer. Praise the Lord, and it's a bill collector. Now what happens? You got to be nice. You can't be rude. You got to be courteous. You got to be kind. They can get you out on the water. That's right. Let me ask you this question. The last time you were rejected, and everybody in this room has been rejected at some point in time in life. It's part of life. Depends on the severity of it and your spiritual condition at the time of rejection. Are you carrying that now, and you feel like that rejection was a part of betrayal? How many of you are holding unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody who's rejected you or betrayed you? We're not justifying what they said or done. What about this one? You prayed. You prayed. You sought God, and He did not answer. And you're holding unforgiveness toward God. God failed you. You just knew that you knew that you knew that God would answer that prayer, and He didn't. And now you're hesitant about praying anymore at all. Oh, you still mumble something, but faith is really not mixed with it, and it's more of a hope so, or maybe you will, than any of prayer or faith. Are you holding unforgiveness toward God? Do you really think He betrayed you? Remember Joseph? Remember the servant? Remember the cook? They got out. He didn't. A good time to hate God. Good time to take up resentment toward Him. Jokingly, I referred myself to Brother Glenn over here and his ministry that he has here. Do you feel like you've been rejected because your ministry hasn't done what you expected it to do? Do you feel like that you've had a call to preach in your life and nobody will let you preach? Do you feel like that you're a prophet and you want to prophesy like our sister done so well a moment ago and seem like nobody will let you prophesy? Do you sense rejection in ministry everywhere you go? It's a no, 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 no. You need to deal with that. I can help you deal with it. I can help you deal with it like this. God will make a way for your gifts. And don't you covet something that you shouldn't have, because you could get a hold of it and turn loose of it like getting a hold of a snake. Just do what God asks you to do. Don't dream of something so-called glorious or infamous or spectacular. Just be who you are. You don't know how comfortable it is to know who you are and to do what God's called you to do, and don't compare yourself with anybody else. Just do your thing. That's me. And if I'll do that, and if you'll do that, one day, you hear me and hear me well, I believe I can back this by the Word of God, one day when you stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, which is called the Bema Seat, you can stand there shoulder to shoulder, right in between Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. I believe that. Because in God's eyes, there's no little people, there's no big people. They're people. They're my children. I pastor a small church. One sense of the word, I thank God for it because I've got time to play golf. I've got time to come here. I've got time to do things. Just wished I had a boat go down that river. A canoe. No, I don't know. No envy. Rebuke envy. Amen. You people see where I'm going? Think about Oral Roberts, you preachers. Think about Oral Roberts. Think about the responsibilities he had. Think about all of the backlash that he got. Think about, you think, oh, you covet what Brother Glenn and the docs got going here. Oh, I covet that. Well, maybe what you need to see is what they have to put up with in the way of rejection. It'd be interesting to know what the community thinks about this devil place down here. I know you could. I'm talking about rejection, 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 rejection. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You see this up here. You don't know what goes on behind the locked doors. Be grateful and thankful for what you have, and don't get angry with God. You owe Him an apology. Where did all that come from? Somebody needed that this morning. Are you here this morning and you've been rejected, rebuffed, turned away, and you made some vows, and you said, that's never going to happen to me again? We might, in Texas, we'll say something like this: God being my helper, I'll never do that again, and they will never, never do that to me again. God being my helper. I've gone the second and the third mile with them, and every time I do that, they slap me in the face. That'll never happen to me again, and they'll never get close to me again. God being my helper. You made those vows. I'm not justifying what they said or what they done, but I'm talking about the vow that you made. And it's wrong. Do you owe God an apology when you prayed for your loved one and they died anyway? Do you owe God an apology because your children have gone the way of a backslider and have no care or sensitivity toward Him in any way, and you've been faithful to God all these years? And since I've been faithful to You, Father, and I've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I've suffered 6, 7, and 8, why haven't You saved my kids? Do you owe Him an apology? I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think. The Holy Spirit will help you to do that. If you made any vows that self-promises, if you made any vows that you know is not right, and you know they're not right if they come to mind, they're good vows. I've made vows to my wife. I've never broken those vows. Those are good vows. I have not betrayed her. You may be standing here this morning and you're in your second, third, or fourth marriage, and your spouse betrayed you. I think that is some of the worst betrayal that a person can experience, is a betrayal of a spouse. Had a young couple in my backyard just a little over a week ago. Been married about 3 years. He'd been married once, lived with a lady for a while. She'd been married twice. This is her third one. Her previous two marriages ended up in divorce because her two previous spouses was unfaithful to her by visiting with other women. And now the husband that she's married to now, when a pretty woman walks by, he takes a second look. So now she's apprehensive because she's getting ready to be betrayed yet again. And all of this is filtering down on those little children who do not belong to him but belong to some other men. One little girl we ministered to just a few weeks ago and broke the spirit of abandonment off of her. She was getting ready to use the word evicted, expelled from school. But after those spirits were broken off of her, her mother says, and I didn't solicit them, the testimony, her mother just volunteered it, says she's not the same girl. I took that couple and looked at them, and I said, what I want to do is take both of you by the shoulders and just shake you until your teeth rattle. And then I want to hug you. And I pointed my bony finger in their face, and I said, divorce is not an option. Divorce is out. You've ran for your last time. When trouble comes, you run. Don't you know how the devil works? If you were a demon, you were assigned to you, what would you do? The same thing that he's doing to you now. Stop it. What am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying if you're standing here and you're in your second or third marriage, you felt like you've been betrayed, have you got that resolved? Have you forgiven the betrayer? Have you laid that in the past? If not, you need to deal with it. How do I deal with it, LaVon? You deal with it. This is so simple, so profound, yet so hard. You deal with it through forgiveness. Forgiveness is the basic principle of deliverance. Don't expect full deliverance without forgiveness. You have got to forgive the offenders. We don't have time to teach on forgiveness. When you forgive, you're not condoning the offense. You're not saying, hey, that's okay, what they done to me was right. No, we're not saying that at all. What we're saying is that you forgive by faith and not by emotions. I prayed with a young lady who came forward one time in a midweek service. She wanted prayer, and she just came from the bar where she was a waitress, and she wore a mini, 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 mini skirt. If you know what 3 minis is, it's just about 6 inches below the waist. And she came forward for prayer. So what do we need to pray for? Well, I need to pray for my husband, i.e. my boyfriend. We've been living together and we have all these children. And he's got a rock and roll band, and or hard rock band, whatever they're called today. And he's doing 1, 2, 3. And I said, well, I called her by name. I said, you're going to have to forgive him. And forgiveness is a decision, a quality decision that you make, and it's based on faith, not based on emotion. I said, now emotionally, you may want to take a .357 Magnum at him. She interrupted me and said, oh, no, 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 I've already done that. So when you forgive somebody, it's not based on emotions, it's based on faith in the Word of God. And if you'll move in faith in a period of time, God will heal the sting. And you can recall it without it hurting. You need to forgive them. Everyone who has betrayed you, including God, you need to forgive. With God, you need to ask His forgiveness because He's not wrong. He's never wrong. He's never been wrong, and He'll never be wrong. So you owe Him an apology and ask His forgiveness for your false accusation toward Him. He always has your best interest at heart. Always remember this. He only had one boy. He only had one son. He only had the Word. And the Word was willing to come and become flesh and die for you. Always remember that. And if you'll remember that and put it in perspective of what you're accusing God and failing to do, and see if they balance. And you'll always find that the love of God surpasses what you're accusing Him of. And you need to forgive Him. And you need to ask forgiveness from Him. Matter of fact, that is so heavy on me right now, I just feel like that's probably what we need to deal with here before we close. Will all of you in faith just pray this with me? Father God, I acknowledge You this morning as my Father. Though my earthly father sometimes came short, You have not. I have falsely accused You in times past of having failed me. And if I've not falsely done it, I've thought it. But I ask You this morning to forgive me. I mean it, Lord. I know without question You'd never fail me. And that You'd withhold no good thing from me. I do have a lot of questions. And I know You have a lot of answers. Grow me up so that I might understand. But until then, by faith, I know that You love me. And You have my interest in heart. Amen. Amen. Would you turn to somebody and say, I love You too. Praise God. Amen. Father God, we want to thank You this morning for this food. We thank You this morning, Lord, for the cooks. We thank You this morning, Lord, for Brother Glenn and all of his staff who has worked so hard to make us feel so comfortable. We give You thanks and praise. And everybody said, Amen. 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 Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.